Good morning. Happy Sabbath. I'm very glad to be with you today. We are going to be continuing our series. And today we're talking about keys for a happy marriage. Now, I will not ask you to raise your hand if you have a happy marriage. But I will ask, who are married? Can I see the hands of those who are married? All right. Now, who are not married? Can I see the hands of those who are not married? Okay. I will also not ask those who are married and wish they were not. That, please don't raise your hands, okay? That's, you know, this is a very practical topic, and this is a very useful topic, I think, to see and to think and to discuss and to meditate on what the Lord gifts of direction for our lives, for our family lives. If you have not received the guide, can you please put your hand up? It's being distributed. It was there at the door as you came through. And if you don't have it yet, please put your hand up and it will come to you. Now, usually girls have this dream that one day they will be wearing white. Well, it depends on your culture, right? But in the culture that I come from, girls have this dream. One day, they will be dressed in white, and it will be a beautiful occasion. And eventually, you see this beautiful woman walking down the aisle. And as you see her, you think, wow. For some people, you see her and you think, oops. Well, what to do? We're here. But, you know, eventually you kneel in front of the altar and somebody offers a prayer for you, and then that's it. New family. Your husband and wife, and your church says, welcome to the new family. And off they go. Like sheep going to the slaughter, having no idea what's going to wait for them. I just wanted to show you one last picture. That's my dad. It's too bad you guys didn't get a chance to meet him. But that's a very special picture for me. Today we want to see what the Bible, what tips can we find in the scripture for us to be able to have the best marriage we can possibly have? I mean, we live in a sinful world, and some of us were born, you know, with our problems. And some of us used to have hair, and then that is gone. And some of us used to be skinny, and now we're not. And some of us... You know, when time passes, some other things also pass. So, but in the midst of it all, how can we have the best life we possibly can? How can we build our life on God so that we can avoid as many problems as we can? Today I want to share with you a few tips from the scripture. And the very first one, I want to start actually before you say, I do. Because once you say, I do, then it's like what Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8 says, be strong and courageous. But before you say, I do, well, you better think. I want to read two passages for you. The first one is found in the second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. It says like this, do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? Belial is another name for Satan. Or what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? So if you want to make your life easier, build on a common ground. If one of you wants to go up and the other one wants to go sideways or down or who knows where, it's going to be harder. So if you want to go up, walk together with somebody who also wants to go up. There is another text that has a similar message It's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11. And, you know, sometimes we only read the previous one and we say, okay, if you're a Christian, then don't pair up with people who are non-Christians. Well, it's not that simple, actually. 1 Corinthians 5:11 says, I am writing to you that you must not associate with anyone who claims to be a brother or a sister, but is sexually immoral, is greedy, is an idolater, is a slanderer, is a drunkard or a swindler. Do not even eat with such people. You know, I had to look in the dictionary what a swindler is. English is my second language. You can hear it by my accent. And I was thinking, what on earth is a swindler? Well, it's somebody who cheats people in order to get money. So now you know. Now I know, now you know. So it's not just, okay, I'm going to look for a Christian. No, you need to look for a real Christian, given that you are a real Christian. I mean, if you don't care, well, who cares? But if you are serious about your faith, you should look for somebody who is also serious about his faith, about her faith. Otherwise, life is going to be unnecessarily hard. Now, let's get into it. You said, I do. What now? All right, first tip that I want to give you from the Word of God is coming from very early in the Scripture. Book of Genesis, chapter 2 and verse 24. That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. Can you see the progression? The first thing that a man does is what? He leaves. He leaves his paternal home. And then he is united to his wife. And then they become one flesh. But you know, we live in a world that is upside down. People want to start from the end. And it doesn't work. Guess what? It doesn't work. Our God has told us, the one who created us, the one who engineered us, the one who knows our path to happiness, he says, take it step by step. The first step, you need to be able to stand on your two feet. You know, I pity people who are thinking about marriage or they are already in marriage and they have nothing. I mean, it's tough. Come and share my misery. We will be miserable forever. We'll be united in misery, and misery will pull us together. Well, usually misery pulls people apart. You know, hunger and love is not a good combination. So if you're hungry, stay alone until you're not hungry anymore, and then you have something to share. The Bible says, first you need to leave. You have your independence, you have maturity, you have two feet to stand up, and then you are united, and then you become one flesh. Simple. It's a progression. Now, another tip from the Scripture. Remember that God has joined you together in marriage. It's amazing, but we have been married almost 18 years. And I can tell you, it has not all been roses. You know, to make a marriage work takes work. And sometimes you need to remember that you actually made a promise, not just to somebody, not just to a human person, you made a promise to the Lord. The Bible says, Jesus actually says, Matthew 19, verses 5 to 6, and then verse 9, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. We just read that. So he is quoting, and then he elaborates. So it means that they are no longer two. They are actually one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. Verse 9, he says, I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another woman commits adultery. So when you come to the biblical standard, the Bible is quite clear. He likes tofu and I like salmon. Well, that's not reason enough to drift apart. Biblical reasons are infidelity And also, as we will see later, when there is abuse, serious abuse. If you are in an abusive relation, and it's not just that he calls you fat or she calls you bald or whatever. Really serious abuse. Then that might be a reason for being apart. Otherwise, one of you might end up dead, and that's not a good thing. So remember, there is a covenant before the Lord. A third tip from the scripture: keep the family circle closed tightly. It is actually a commandment. And you know, when it comes to commandments, I like the word that God chose. These are commandments, and we have 10 of them. It's not 10 suggestions. It's not 10 pieces of advice. It's not 10 recommendations. They are called the 10 commandments. And this is the 7th one of them. If you have not read them, you have 2 versions in the Bible. One version is found in Exodus chapter 20, and the other version is found in Deuteronomy chapter 5. You can go and check them out. It says, "You shall not commit adultery." If you want to put it in simple English, do not be unfaithful. Now, it doesn't always take the physical act to be unfaithful. Do you remember what Jesus said when he was talking about this commandment? He says, you can be just playing in your head. You can be just thinking in your head. You can be coveting in your head, which is breaking another commandment. And you have already committed adultery. So you need to be faithful to your spouse in your body. You need to be faithful to your spouse in your thoughts. You need to be faithful to your spouse in your finances. You need to be faithful to your spouse in the way that you relate to family. Like, sometimes it's pitiful to see people and how everything is a war. It's my family against your family and my in-laws. Good Lord, I cannot see them. Do not commit adultery. You need to be faithful to your spouse. That involves a lot more than just the physical aspect of life. Another principle that we can get from the Word of God, it's connected to the previous one: guard your thoughts. If you read in the scripture in the book of Philippians, chapter 4 and verse 8, Paul says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." So I want to give you a practical advice. When you are in your work and you remembered that before you left home, he didn't say goodbye and he didn't offer a kiss and he didn't tell you have a lovely day, forget it. Forget it. Nothing good will come out of it. You keep roaming over it. He didn't give me a kiss, and what was he watching on that phone when I stepped out of the room? And that's why, I remember that 2 months ago, he was also, and then 10 years ago, he looked in that way. And you know, the mind works in funny ways. And there are some people who never forget. And you know, connections begin to, it's like, just stop it. Stop it. All of us, we all have flaws. So choose to look to the bright side. Yes, there is a dark side. It's not to ignore it. It's not to pretend that it's not there. But it's to look at life from a proactive angle. It's to look at life from a positive angle. Okay, he didn't say goodbye today. Or yesterday he didn't say goodbye. He didn't say goodbye in the whole week. Okay, how can I trip this guy to tell me goodbye? You are thinking a very similar thought, but you are choosing to channel it in a very different direction. The Bible tells you whatever is pure, whatever is good, whatever is noble, whatever is admirable, if there is anything good on it, think about that. Put your mind on that. If it is not, then recognize it and shift your thinking pattern. Maybe you're thinking about the same subject, but you're thinking about the same thing in a different way. shift the way you are thinking, it's going to change your mood and it's going to change your emotions a lot. Guard your thoughts. This is another very good one, and it is called never go to bed angry. It's not an easy one because it takes discipline. Because you know what? We are proud. Lift your hands if you're very humble. You love for people to step on you and clean their shoes on your ego. Come on, raise your hand. You like it? You enjoy it? No, man, we're proud. We are sinful people trying to be transformed by the Lord and being purified so we can see Him face to face. But natural heart is proud. The Bible tells us, in your anger, what? Oh, that's good news. I didn't know you could do that. The Bible says, in your anger, what? Do not sin. So the Bible, God knows and God understands that we human beings, we experience emotions. And let me tell you something, emotions are just emotions. Emotions are not good. Emotions are not bad. Emotions are not holy. Emotions are not evil. Emotions are just emotions. What matters is what you do with that emotion. In your anger, do not sin. It is natural that you told your husband 100 million times, when you finish eating, please pick up the plate from the table and put it on the sink. Have you told him 1 million times? Did you? Does he always forget? And that makes you feel? In your anger, do not sin. Because it's normal to feel the emotion. It's normal. Sometimes we feel happy. Sometimes we feel surprised. Sometimes we feel sad. Sometimes we feel angry. It's an emotion. But the thing is, what do we do with that emotion? Do I choose to let it control the way I see the situation and then react and overreact and make a huge deal out of it? Or do I go back to the previous thought and choose to change the way I think? And if you cannot change the way you think and you do sin in the moment, at least before you go to bed, get it solved. Because if you don't solve it that day, the next day is harder to solve. And the next week is harder to solve. And the next month is harder to solve. And before you know it, you are living in two worlds that are very far apart from each other. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. Do not give him an inch. Because when you give him an inch, he takes the whole way. So, very simple advice. I'm trying to bring the most practical things that the Bible has to say on the topic. Now, there is another principle, and if you ask me, I believe this is the most important principle of all. Now, you will see that I'm jumping in and out of your lessons, and I did that on purpose because I know you can read, so if you just want to read the lesson, then that's it, you read it. But you are here, and we get to interact and to think and to discuss things that might not be there in the lesson. Now, I believe this is the most important one of all the principles to be able to live and to have a happy marriage. Make the other person happy. How do you do this? Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 21 says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Submit. Oh man, in this culture nowadays, that word is ugly. We don't like that. We like to have our way. I have my rights, you know. I have my rights. This is the age of equality. And you need to know that, and you know, you begin to see these things fly, woo, woo, and then you are not listening because you are distracted by all the flipping and dancing. Well, it happens. Submission, we don't like that word. Now, if you don't like that word, you will not like at all the next one that is coming But I want to give you some hope. I'm going to say I'm going to mention what the Bible says for women, as advice for women. And even women, if you want to get your share and throw it at me, just wait a second. Because after you, it comes our turn. Advice for men. Is that fair enough? All right, so even if you want to kill me or to kill your husband, please, in your anger, do not sin. All right? Take a deep breath. Let's go for it. So this is the principle. We submit to one another. Now, how does this work? Some advice for wives from the Bible. In the same book, Ephesians chapter 5, now verses 22 and 23. We just read verse 21. Now this is verse 22 and 23. It says, "Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord." Verse 33 says, "The wife must respect her husband." I want to ask a question. How are we supposed to submit to the Lord? Halfway? When we want? When we feel like it? How are we supposed to submit to the Lord? Oh, man, we are supposed to submit to the Lord 100, 300, 1,000%. No questions asked. And you may say, what? Which version of the Bible are you reading? Let me check another one. It doesn't matter which version you check. They will all say something very, very similar. But then again, I said, in your anger, wait for it. There is something for us also. So this is what the Bible says for women. Submit yourselves to your own husbands, and you need to respect this man. You know, it's like the Bible knew something about psychology. Well, obviously, the Lord knows us a lot. There is one very silly thing about us. We are so proud. And even if we are nobody everywhere, we want to be somebody at home. And when we get to our own home, and the person who is closest to us and knows us the best, when she says something, oh, that thing goes deep and it breaks and it cuts. Because it's like when they put the finger where it is very sore. So I like that word about respect. We tend to thrive on an atmosphere of respect. And even though we are a little bit overweight, you look good. And, you know, well, you don't look like 20 years ago, but still works. Okay, you look good. You know, give us something from time to time. We also enjoy it. Now, there is another passage that speaks to women. It's found in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1. "Wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they might be won over without words." How? By the behavior of their wives. So the Bible says that this is so important that you could actually witness to your spouse if by some reason he is an unbeliever. He might even be so shocked, man, this woman is so different. All my friends are complaining and they are throwing their fists in the air and they don't know what to do. This woman is an angel. And then, there you have it. Now, enough for the women, some for the men. For husbands, have a look at this. We come back to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, and then verse 28. "Husbands, love your wives." And then he describes how. "Just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, in this same way husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself." I want to ask you a question. Do you remember how Jesus loved the church? Do you remember what he said, that he came not to be served but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many? Do you remember that he says, "I don't call you friends, but no greater love has someone than this, than to give his life for his friends"? I want to ask to the women, I will not ask you to raise your hands because I know that there are some rebellious characters around that will not be softened no matter what. But woman, would you be willing to submit to a man who is willing to die for you? Would you be willing to submit to a man that is willing to literally shed his blood for you? to put you first, to honor you, to cherish you, to protect you, to give his everything for you. That's what the Bible is talking about when he says, wives, submit. And that's why I began the way I began, because if you are a believing woman and you are submitting to a godless man, he is going to make your life miserable. But if you are a believing woman and you are submitting to a godly man, this man is going to love you. This man is going to take care of you. This man is going to protect you. This man is going to die for you if he has to. That's what the Bible is talking about. This is why, you know, we are talking about deep, deep things. This is not just talk. We are talking about people who are committed to the Lord, who put God first. There is another text for husbands. It's in 1 Peter also, chapter 3 and verse 5. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as your wife, as you live with your wives, and treat them with respect. Oh, we find that same word again. So the woman is supposed to submit and respect the man, but the man is also supposed to love, put his wife first, and respect her and treat her with special consideration, because she is the weaker partner and heir with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. So actually, if you are inconsiderate to your wife, if you are beating your wife and you pretend to pray, that's not going anywhere. Repent. Apologize to your wife, and then you can dare to pray. The Lord will not listen to the prayer of any woman basher unless it is a prayer of repentance. I know that some of us have wild tempers, but that's what the gospel is all about transformation, about new life. If you are here today and you know that you have treated your wife unfairly, you know that you have put your hands on her in the wrong way, I want to ask you, in the name of God, please repent. And make a covenant with you and make a covenant with your wife that will never, ever happen again. Because if you're not serious, then the Lord will not take you seriously. The prayer that Jesus taught us is, if we don't forgive the enemies who sin against us, then the Lord will not forgive us. So how can you pretend to be abusing your wife, and how can you pretend to be hurting your wife, and how can you pretend to be hitting your wife, literally hitting your wife, and then fall on your knees and God will say, oh, my son, I will bless you and help you. You are playing with fire. You are literally playing with fire. So is that good enough? Do you think that's balanced for men and women? Does that sound fair? I think it sounds very fair. I think if we did that, our lives would be very, very different and much, much better. Now, you know, we live in this part of the world, and you know that I always like to see how are things on the other side of the fence. So I want to see, do we have some other keys for a happy marriage? Happy marriage according to the other side of the fence. Again, I don't want to criticize, I don't want to point fingers, I just want to read a few texts. Because, you know, there are some women on this side of the fence, there are some men on this side of the fence who are looking to the women on that side of the fence. I want to tell you, if you're thinking about marriage, forget it. They are not allowed to marry you. Forget it. Now, we have some women on this side of the fence, and they have their eyes on some men on that side of the fence, they can marry you. You know, as it is usual on the other side of the fence, men get to do, but women don't get to do. So he can marry you. But what is the marital life like on that side of the fence? Do we have some tips for a happy marriage? Well, we can find a first tip in chapter 4, verse 54, Surah 4, Ayah 54. This is very small, but since you can read Arabic, I put it here. I will read for you, okay? Men are in charge of women by the rights that Allah has given one over the other. that he may spend for their maintenance from their wealth. So righteous women are devout, obedient, guarding in the husband's absence that which Allah have them guard. But those wives from you whom you fear arrogance, first advise them. Then, if they persist, forsake them in bed. And finally, strike them. But if they obey you once more, then seek no means against them. Indeed, Allah is ever exalted and grand. So, you know, you need to be aware that this is the way, this is the procedure given to you on the other side of the fence. Now, it doesn't mean that every man on the other side of the fence does that. Thank God. But that's what is written in the scripture in the other side of the fence. There is another verse in Surah 4 and Ayah 5. And if you fear that you will not deal justly with the orphan girls, then marry those that please you of other women, 2 or 3 or 4. But if you fear that you will not be just, then marry only one, or just some of your those that your right hand possesses. That is more suitable that you may not incline to injustice. Those that your right hand possess are the people that you go in battle and you kill their husbands, or they are left defenseless, so you take them as your slaves, then you can have that. That's your war booty. It's literally war booty. Now, this is Surah 4, verse 24. And also prohibited to you are all married women except those your right hand possesses. So again, if you went to war and you were victorious and this woman's husband is dead, you can have her. She's your booty. Or even if he's alive, you can also have her. She's your booty. Your right hand possesses that property. And there is one last one. There were so many, but I had to choose only 4. This is in Ayah 55, Surah 55, Ayah 4. And those who no longer expect menstruation among your women, if you doubt, then their period is 3 months. What are you talking about, Pastor? Well, this is the chapter that talks about divorce. So you have 4, but you want to change for some different packaging. You know, you're not attracted anymore, or, you know, mileage is too high. You know, you want to change models. So how do you change models without having the spare wheel in the trunk? This is the procedure to follow. So if they are not expecting menstruation anymore, so you will wait 3 months. Now, also those who have not yet menstruated, so maybe you married a girl that is not yet menstruating, and you married her, you consummated, you want to see if she's pregnant, okay, you need to wait also for 3 months. Now, for those who are actually pregnant, then their term is until they give birth, and then you can let her go, and you can change models straight up. So this is life on the other side of the fence. Again, we are not commenting too much. We're not saying too much. We don't want to point fingers. We just want to read what is there because we live in this side of the world. And if you're thinking about jumping to the other side of the fence, you need to wait what sort of animals live on the other side of the fence. Some other advice from the scripture. Be clean, be modest, be orderly, be dutiful. In Proverbs chapter 35 and verse 15, we read, "She gets up while it is still night. She provides food for her family and portions for her female servants." 1 Timothy 5:8 gives the part for the man. He says, "Anyone who does not provide for their relatives and especially for their own household, he has denied the faith. He is worse than an unbeliever." So men and women, we are supposed to work. No laziness. If you are going to be lazy together, you are going to drift apart. You need to work to make it work. Another tip, talk things over freely with one another. I love this proverb, chapter 26 and verse 12. "Do you see a person wise in their own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for them." You need to learn to talk. You need to learn to communicate. We are always going to fight in a marriage. Do not ever think, "Oh, I'm going to get married and we will never fight." Newsflash for you. You will fight, and you will fight a lot. But you can do something. You can learn how to fight. You can learn to fight clean. You can learn to speak. You can learn to listen. You can learn to get your message across without destroying one another. So you need to learn to communicate. Now, this is another thing that is very, very, very useful. Pray together. Jesus says in Matthew 26 and verse 41, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. If you want to be close to your spouse, make it a habit. Maybe in the morning, maybe in the evening, or whatever other time that you have time, pray together. At least once a day, pray together. Sometimes it's not possible because I know life is so messy. But take the time to pray together. There is a saying that goes that the family that prays together, it stays together. This is the very last one. Keep Christ in the center of your home. The Psalm 127 and verse 1 says, can we read all this together? 1, 2, 3. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. Actually, I forgot. This is not the last one. This is the last one. God describes love. Make it your daily goal to measure up. This is what love, real love, looks like according to God. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. It is not so much about finding the right person. It is about being the right person. Think about this love, this kind of love, and reflect. Am I giving this kind of love to my spouse? That is the best gift that you can give to yourself. So my question for you today is, do you want your marriage to reflect this kind of unselfish, committed, and joyful love? The only way that that will happen in your life is if God is in your heart and God is in your spouse's heart. Now, if you are married to an unbeliever, then all the more reason to shower them with divine love. May God bless you. May the Lord prosper your home. May the Lord keep you away from temptation. And the next time that we see each other, we're going to talk about topic number 6, written on stone.